This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm actually driving home today because we weren't snowed out. I'm going to have to watch because the car is going to try to load Android and then it's going to try and to NYPD start. Off. Yeah, there we go. Anyways, so all is well. All is well. We're ramping up. Oh, well, work has been good this week. We've got good things done and working on some other things and got some things taken care of that were needed to be done before the end of the month, and we were on schedule and got those all taken care of, and we've got projects that are moving forward and we're on time, on target with them. Didn't look like we were going to be for a while, but you know, we were able to get some clarification on what needed to be done, and in the process of doing that clarification, we're able to redefine down what was the minimum viable product, the MVP. We are currently working with an outside consulting company that does project management, so they have a lot of new acronyms for us. And so if we're in a meeting and I hear an acronym I don't know, I just lean over. That's the advantage of being on Zoom meetings or Teams meetings. Just lean over and open a browser, put the acronym in, go, oh, okay, that's what we're talking about. Got it. Anyway, so that's all going fine. We've got small groups coming in tonight. We'll see how many we have. We've been a little shy because we have older individuals who are part of our group by design. We don't have anybody really with kids that they bring with them. We're just a bunch of old retirees. Because that's the way we like it. But because of that, because it's been cold and it's been getting dark very early, some of our people, they don't get out at night. And so our attendance has been down, but that's okay. That's just fine. We're getting ready to jump forward here, and the warmer temperatures are coming back, so all is well. We are getting into that time of the year when we're going to be celebrating an anniversary of sorts for the podcast. I think, let's see, we're in the 820s or so, which means that we're somewhere around, is this going to be coming up on 16 years worth of podcasts? So if it was 16 years worth of podcasts, it would be 520 plus 32, no, 16 years worth of podcasts would be 520 plus 3. Oh, yes. Right? 520. I'm trying to drive and do math in my head. It would be 520 plus 306. So 520 plus 306 would take us to 826. And this is 821, I believe. So here in just a couple of weeks. It happens sometime in March. I will try to make note of it when it comes. But I believe this is coming up on 16 years worth of podcasts. So anyways, there's that. So work is good. Costume was fun. Last week I got the Teleferry Tale costume all taken care of, and we went and we did scenes from The Princess Bride. That was fun. Had to kind of cut some things short because we had a funeral we had to go to, and then after the funeral I did need some things from Walmart, and so I thought, well, I'm going to throw on the getup and just go to the Walmart. I did throw on the getup. because I was still at the church, so I got dressed back in the Telefairy Tale Day costume. I made it to the Walmart. I was going through the parking lot, and everything was just jammed. There was just, everybody was in Walmart, which is fine. That's just fine. But all the snow was melting as well. And so the parking lot was this kind of swimming pool, you know, there was all kinds of big, huge puddles. And I looked at that and thought, okay, in the first place, I'm going to have to go tramping through those puddles to get inside. And then in the second place, if somebody comes through one of those puddles, it's not going to be good. And so I just gave up, went home, just recorded my videos. So I did put those up on Facebook as usual. So that was fun. People have been complimentary, and it was fun. It was worth doing. This week is National Fairy Tale Day. Or not National Fairy Tale Day. National Tooth Fairy Day. And so that's a traditional costume that I've had around for a while. So, you know, that guy's fun. If I got a door... Oh, I do have a door ajar. Driver's door ajar. So I noticed that my lights are on. Oh, maybe one of the back doors is ajar. So that's normal. I had forgotten that last year when I did Love Your Robot Day, that I had celebrated that the first week of February, because that was the date that I had. Then I noticed that on my list, I had Love Your Robot Day potentially being celebrated this weekend. And I thought, what? Last year for Love Your Robot Day, I actually used Pi.ai. Which is, it was pretty good at the time. I mean, it was a conversational robot. It was a little rough, you know, rough around the edges, the way I had to make it work. I had to use the speech to text, and I had to hit buttons. But we got sort of some of it done, and I had just resigned myself this year to not do it. Which I was thinking, yeah, but it'd be nice if I had done something every year to keep showing the progress. And then last night, I was listening to some things about AI, and they had mentioned the ChatGPT Advanced Voice Mode. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. So I have a subscription to ChatGPT. It's just the GPT Plus. And I thought, I wonder how good that advanced voice mode is, because I had seen some demos on something that was a real-time voice mode. I was pretty sure that's what it was, but I didn't know how much I would be qualified for on just the GPT Plus plan. So I pulled it up, I started talking to it, and I thought, okay, this is really pretty good. So then I kind of hurried around and got the costume back down, figured out where we were. And when I got up this morning, I've been writing in the mornings, because as long as I'm going to have to be up some of the time at 4:30 in the morning, I just need to be up all the time at 4:30 in the morning, because I tried to do the bouncing back and forth between 4:30 and 6 o'clock or 6:30, and it was just wrecking me. So I was just like, okay, as long as we're providing childcare, I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning. So that I'll be ready on those days when I actually need to do it. So I've been using that time to write. It's worked out really well. No complaints. And so that was all fine and dandy and well. And so I got up this morning, and then instead of write, I kind of got the costume put together and figured out how we were going to mount the tablets, and I got ChatGPT installed on the tablet and got the tablet charged up last night, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was trying it out, and it was working fine. Interestingly enough, there is a time constraint on the advanced voice mode, But I think it's a time restraint on how you can keep using it in the same session. So what ChatGPT told me is if I run out of time, I can just go ahead and shut it down, start it back up, and then it should be fine. In addition to that, though, you can turn on the video camera, and it can actually see what you're doing. I was showing my buddy today, one of my buddies, and he had a printed gear that was an orbital gear pattern that was printed with his 3D printer, and it was interesting because he held it up to the video camera and ChatGPT correctly identified it as a 3D printed orbital gear. So that's pretty interesting. He was pretty impressed with that. It still isn't to the place where just like a person could walk up to the camera and it would recognize that it was a new person and so it would start a new conversation. So we're still gonna do the code words, but we're gonna do the code word a little different. Last year, I had talked to Pi, and it was really the first time I used a prop in a costume that was more of a helper or a co-costume element as opposed to just being a prop. And I had told Pi, when you hear someone say, I want to talk to the robot, that's your signal to start a new conversation. So I did the same thing basically to ChatGPT advanced mode, is I just told it, first of all, I told it, I thought it would be cute if we could just refer to it as Rosie the robot from the Jetsons, obviously. And it said, sure, no, that's no problem, you can call me Rosie. And I said, okay, and then when you hear someone say, I want to talk to Rosie the robot, you should just greet them as Rosie the robot and just take off. And it just does it flawlessly. I mean, occasionally there's a little delay, but it's not bad. Usually it's coming back with a response in 2 seconds, which, you know, I mean, it's like the other person is just kind of thinking for a moment. But it's very responsive, and so I took it in today, showed it to the guys at work, so that was fun, and showed it to my wife last night, and so I think the plan is that I'm going to do the Tooth Fairy costume, do all my visits for that, and then end up at Maranatha at the community center, and then I'm going to duck into the community center, get dressed in the robot costume. Love Your Robot, which Love Your Robot Day, there were actually 2 dates. One was February 7th, and then one was February 24th. I don't think I mentioned that. So we're a little past it, but it's okay. And then I'm going to do just a quick visit to Walmart, see if I can find anybody who wants to talk to a robot. So this will be fun. It'll be interesting to see. I can go with the equipment I have right now, but I do have an extra speaker and an extra mount that just came in today. I ordered them yesterday because I only decided to do this yesterday. And if I can get that all rigged up, I'll have a couple of external speakers that I can put onto the tablet to actually push more sound, because it's amazing how much noise there is in Walmart that you just block out and you just don't think about it. when you're in there, but when you're trying to play something, it's actually, you know, it does make enough noise that it's hard to hear. So we're going to give that a try. And I think I'll have enough time to get all this mounting done. I pretty much have everything else done. I just got to charge some batteries and get that going. But the setup then, it's basically 2 GoPro harnesses, chest harnesses. And the top one has the tablet, has my phone on it, which is supplying the hotspot over 5G to get us to the internet. And then the secondary harness will have the two speakers mounted on it plus the battery backup, and then I'll run everything on the battery pack, because I just pulled the battery pack that I had from the Time Traveler costume. So this will be fun. It'll be fun. As far as writing goes, I'm trying to get finished up on book 22. I'm close. I actually ended up with two epilogues, and one of them turned out to be like, it's going to be 18, 19 pages. So it's a considerable epilogue, but it needs to be said to get everything set up for book 23 and 24. So we'll get through that. And then I have one more epilogue to write that is the kind of tender-hearted epilogue. And then I'll be able to start my read-through, and then we'll see if all this AI can build me a cover quickly, and if I can get all that done, then we can be ready to go for the beta release of book 22 on April 1st. We'll see how fast Amazon can get these books printed. So that's all going well. So I think that's all that. I do have to kind of cut this short when I get home, because I've got to try to build out the speaker assembly. I don't have to vacuum anymore or anything like that, because we have a housekeeper that comes in on Thursdays, and that's really nice. So that's good. Anyways, just a follow-on from what we talked about last week with Deborah Birx coming out and saying that we really need to follow the science, and it wasn't following the science when we were saying that everyone had to get vaccinated. And, you know, the only people that really needed to get vaccinated were the old people, which is what a whole bunch of people were saying and getting excoriated for it, including from Deborah Birx. So yeah, this retconning of, which is retroactive continuity, where you go back and you just sort of rewrite history and go, oh yeah, I knew that all the time. We had another instance of that pop up this week. Apparently Jake Tapper, who's a CNN correspondent, has now written a book about the great Biden conspiracy and how that they hid the fact that Biden was in mental decline. Yeah? A lot of people were saying that. And one of the people who wasn't saying that was Jake Tapper. And so the people on Twitter and stuff were like, Jake Tapper, under the Biden administration. No, he's not suffering any mental decline. That's just a stutter. You know, and now it's, oh, there was a big conspiracy to help people not see that Biden was in mental decline. Yeah, right. So anyways, there's that. However, I had mentioned last week that I had already put together a topic, and I've done this topic before, but it's just another podcast that you can listen to if you need to listen to it. It's really, really good, and I won't comment too much on it, but just to say that Jordan Peterson is interviewing, I think he's a biologist, and he's talking about how the body processes energy and all that stuff, and it's really good. I mean, in the podcast, it's called Stop Eating for Hibernation. It's Dr. Benjamin Bickman. And it was on Jordan Peterson stuff, so you can find this on YouTube. But anyways, I mean, they talked about the complex interplay between insulin resistance, and metabolic processes in the human body. And they explored how elevated insulin levels can lead to health issues, including fatty liver disease, cognitive decline, particularly in relation to Alzheimer's disease, which they referred to as type 3 diabetes. I've mentioned that before because I had heard it before. They talk about the critical role of the liver in metabolism and the impact of dietary sugars, particularly fructose, on health and the potential benefits of a ketogenic diet. They emphasize the importance of understanding individual metabolic responses to different fuels, particularly glucose and ketones, and how a shift in diet can lead to rapid improvements in cognitive performance. They are parked in the circle drive going around, so I'm going to back up here and get turned around, check the mail. And they also touch on the concerning trend of fatty liver disease in children and the societal factors contributing to poor dietary habits. It's all very, very interesting. One of the things that he said that I thought, that's another way of putting it. He said that he likes to tell people, ask them if they know what the minimum necessary dietary intake of carbohydrates is. Across the board, carbohydrates. As opposed to proteins and fat. I'm getting my mail, one moment. Not much. Just a couple of flyers. Let's check down underneath and see if there's anything down there. Oh, there is something down there. Okay, now I gotta back up and get out far enough to where I can open that and get the package out of it. Let's see if we can make this work. I think I'm gonna have to pull forward. Here we go. Boy, it's a beautiful day today. I think that's my baby. That feels heavy and it feels like dog food or something. So I don't think that one's mine. Okay. And so, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. What is the minimum necessary required intake of carbohydrates? And the answer is zero. That's the answer. So, because your body doesn't need carbohydrates. Your body can manufacture everything that it needs to manufacture from proteins and from fat. Now, some people are going to say, well, but your brain needs glucose. Your brain has to have glucose or you're not going to be able to think. Well, that's not really true, because what your brain can do is take fat and convert it to ketones, and then your brain can work on ketones. So, you know, you really don't need carbohydrates. And the problem, of course, with carbohydrates, if you get too much carbohydrates, it throws the body's whole metabolism out of kilter. So the big hit points that they have made on in this podcast is that the brain's metabolic demands make it particularly vulnerable to insulin resistance, impacting cognitive function. High fructose corn syrup and processed sugars are major contributors to the rise of fatty liver disease in children. The liver is a central player in metabolism, handling various nutrients and responding to insulin by producing fat. Humans' evolutionary history may explain the brain's preference for ketones, as they provide energy more efficiently than glucose. Initial reports show that transitioning to a ketogenic diet can lead to significant short-term improvements in cognitive function, especially in individuals with early-stage Alzheimer's. I really wish I had known that. Because if I had known that, when I saw my mom going downhill, we would have gotten her on a ketogenic diet, but I didn't know that. Research indicates that being in a state of ketosis can enhance metabolic rate and activate autophagy, promoting overall health. The importance of individualized dietary approaches is emphasized, particularly in optimizing health outcomes. So I highly recommend the episode. It's called Stop Eating for Hibernation. It's very, very good. It has lots and lots of good information in it. And I am home, so I should go in and find out what's going on. So this is Phil Farron,
and I have made it home.